Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with the annual tradition of the Nutcracker at Warner Theater now through December 24th. And I'm here with two very special guests. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
I'm Julie Kent, Artistic Director of the Washington Ballet.
Hello, I'm Luis Torres. I'm Ballet Master in one of the performances in the Nutcracker.
And Luis has been here, what is this, like 3 or 4 years in a row now?
Four now,
yeah. Yes. He's coming here. I used to come with Set Team Weber, yes. Who I see it's his name still plastered all over the poster as Set Team Weber's Nutcracker. he just stepped down, and I know a few months back we spoke with you, Julie, about taking over the Washington Ballet. So before we dive into Nutcracker, how's it been going so far?
It's going well. It's been very exciting, and lots of, it's really a new day for all of us. Lots of changes for me personally and for my family, and I think the tone is really one of a great excitement and enthusiasm, and really looking forward to so much that's ahead. And I think the Nutcracker season is a special time of year for everyone, and this production in particular is really, really charming and fun, and definitely a sense of ownership of the entire DC community in this production. So it's been a joy to watch it and just usher in the holiday season.
It really does usher in the holiday season. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things. You got like a Christmas Carol at Ford's and Nutcracker at Warner. You have to do it. Luis, if our listeners have come and seen it, you know, if it's like an annual tradition that they do, what sort of things are still there that, you know, the old favorites that they love?
The old favorites that they love. The Sugar Plum Fairy. How can you go wrong with that amazing yearly holiday season? You can hear it at Macy's, but you can see it at the Nutcracker. So come see it again. Mother Barnum, the clowns, the cutest clowns, all the beautiful creatures from the Potomac, and all the families that come to see their kids growing through the roles that they do. This year is really exciting because we have the prince in the Nutcracker. It's graduating from our school, and he did Fritz, and now he's doing the prince. So If you come every year, you can see the kids growing through all the different roles. So it's really exciting because you can see your community in our production.
Yeah, I think when I first came, you were the Nutcracker. Now you've grown into a full-size dancer. It's amazing.
Yes,
now he's holding the weather balloon.
Yes.
Explain, and Julie, just so that's sort of like the annual traditions that we all keep coming back for. But since this is your first time taking this over, what sort of changes and tinkering might there be to this production? Or is it pretty much the same?
It's the same, and that's why it's Septeams. It's really his production. And what my husband and I have brought is just our years of experience dancing other productions of Nutcracker, and I think it's mostly can be seen in the Grand Pas de Deux and the Snow Pas de Deux and the Grand Pas de Deux, where I think you can see a bit of the tone of the work that we're doing in the studio and in all the other ballets that we're dancing is reflected in that. So that's really nice to see.
You mentioned some of your other past Nutcrackers that you've done, because you've been at this for a while, you know, Boris Makoff and everything.
Yes, that was my first Nutcracker.
She's a bit of a legend here, ballerina in here. So, yeah, explain some of your other versions you've done.
The very first Nutcracker I ever danced was when I made my debut with American Ballet Theater in 1985 with Boris Makoff's production of The Nutcracker. I had never danced it as a child.
Unbelievable.
And it was a beautiful production. There was no children in this production, so all of the roles were danced by professional dancers. So my first role was Party Scene Girl and a Snowflake. And then I went from there to dance Nutcrackers all over the country as the Sugar Plum Fairy, and various incarnations of Nutcracker at ABT, Kevin McKenzie's production, and then a second production. I've danced Nutcracker in Maryland and Chicago and Louisville, Texas, and Stamford, Connecticut, and California, and I mean, I can't even, it just tons and tons of places, and Indiana University for about 10 years, and and it's a great joy, and what I love and what really resonates in every production of Nutcracker that I've danced is a beautiful, that really important relationship between the students, the teachers, and the parents. And it's really an investment of the entire community. And it's a beautiful thing to see because a lot of people put a lot of time and effort into bringing it to life. The students put so much of their hard work, and the parents get the children to all those rehearsals, and they wait for them after every performance, and they help them with their makeup, and they help them get in their costumes. And then, of course, the teachers are so patient in sharing their knowledge and expertise and love, and that beautiful transfer of information, which is so specific in ballet, from generation to generation. So it's a beautiful thing to see, and it no matter if you're in Timbuktu or in Washington, D.C.
Or KRP in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
She was just saying that that's what T.O.P. reminded her of before we came on air.
Exactly. Yes, then you see it time and again. It's really lovely.
It's awesome. Louise, after that whole long resume of Nutcracker, this isn't her first Nutcracker rodeo. Is it a little intimidating for you and the dancers?
Actually, no. It's really inspiring because there is a fresh point of view. There is information that perhaps we haven't gotten before. So it's nice to have that experience and a new point of view and maybe considering new things. Even though we know this production, maybe there is a hidden jewel within our production that they're able to see by the time they're looking at it and learning it and figuring it out. So yeah. It's been fantastic. Not intimidating at all. Inspirational.
Now, I remember when... Yeah, nice. I saw that wink. I remember when we talked to you over at the ballet, when you first got the job. You and Victor Barbie, your husband, came in and we spoke. And I remember you saying that before you took over the ballet, you kind of snuck down here in a little bit of a disguise at the Kennedy Center and sat in the audience just to scope it out. And so I thought of that immediately on Tuesday because I went and saw it on Tuesday. You got to go every year. And I caught you across the aisle and you'd be like clapping at little parts that, you know, everyone claps at the big parts, but I'd see like in between numbers, like little mini claps.
Yes.
So what sort of things are you looking for? Are these individual parts that you've worked on with the dancers and you say, oh, they nailed that part?
Probably, yes. I think that I need to be aware people are watching me in the audience.
We know who you are.
Yes, because last night I definitely did a few, and a few of these when nobody else was clapping.
Yeah.
I don't know. First of all, when the ballerina enters, it's protocol to clap. So often I do that, but not only generally ballet audiences know that, and Nutcracker audience is not necessarily ballet audience, as we said. It ushers in the holidays.
Yeah,
everybody loves the Nutcracker, really, whether you love ballet or not. So oftentimes when the ballerina enters, I just clap because it's sort of just the etiquette.
Yeah.
And then, personal victories or something that I felt was particularly beautiful or just maybe a segment of a dance that I knew the dancer was struggling with or working it to accomplish a certain finesse. And so I just recognize it and I don't need to disturb the whole audience. Or I don't want to also seem like I'm like trying to get the audience going planting applause here and there. It's a bit more just my connection to what's happening.
I thought it was great. It was like this intimate connection between, teacher and student that I love. Now, last year, Luis, you remember, every year they have various people, figures from around town, doing guest appearances. And you guys had me there as the ambassador with the sash and the hat.
Yep.
I got to tell you, backstage, it was mind-blowing to see when you're out on stage, but then how quickly you got to go down and go around underneath the stage. So take them behind the scenes of how much costume changes and all that stuff is going on. It was pretty much a whirlwind. I was amazed.
And the scenery as well.
Yeah.
Because backstage at the Warner is very intimate. So our
that means small.
It's a cute way to say small.
Yeah.
It's like in the apartment ads where it says cozy equals tiny, small, no room.
Very intimate.
It's the studio apartment of theaters.
Yes. Studio apartment of theaters, correct. Yeah. And our scenery pieces are quite big and heavy, and there is a lot of students and a lot of professionals that are backstage, and there's a lot happening, especially in Act One. So there is a lot of, not only what you see on stage is choreographed, also behind stage you need to be very careful and choreograph which way you're running, which way the scenery is going. It's quite an adventure, as you experienced.
Yeah, and we've gone this far and we haven't talked about the music itself, Tchaikovsky. Yeah. What makes it such, either of you can take this, but what makes it such a holiday tradition? I mean, I know it's all over commercials, even like in Home Alone, John Williams is like kind of echoing that. So why is Tchaikovsky still relevant all these years later?
I think personally, he created such a score that emotes emotion to the person hearing it. Like, there is no way that you cannot listen to that music and feel something. Mm-hmm. And when you feel something and you see something that goes with that feeling, it's just magical. It's like hearing Christmas carols. Like, even though they're so old, the music itself triggers a memory from your childhood or from a family moment or a relationship that you have that was special for you. So I think Tchaikovsky had the magic of creating a score that emotes and also creates memories when you hear it. Yeah. I feel.
Do you have a favorite piece of the music? There's so many different selections that are iconic on their own right.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The drama is so clear in the music. And that's one of the things that I encourage the dancers to do is attach their movement and their performance to the music, because it really speaks for itself. It builds, and then usually starts off very calm and exquisite, and then the crescendo, you can feel it building and building and building, and then it goes down and up. And so the drama and the emotion is really built into the construction of the music, and it's evocative, just as Luis said, that you hear the Sugar Plum Fairy music, and it's the Sugar Plum Fairy music. You can see it in your mind's eye. So, it's very easy to tell a story with that score.
And let's say maybe some of our listeners have never come to see you. Hard to believe. It's
right.
Every year. What's
right?
The problem? Stop watching this and go get tickets now. No, but if they haven't, explain how this is a very DC nutcracker. That, you know, some of the Washington history, George Washington stuff woven in.
So Mr. Weber took the whole Americana theme and put it in the story of the Nutcracker. So our Nutcracker resembles the George Washington. It takes place in a Georgetown mansion, and the battle is George Washington with
Revolutionary War soldiers and the Valley Forge bunnies. They're that iconic depiction. Norman Rockwell of the with the colonial flag,
yes.
and we just have all sorts of local. We have the Waltz of the Flowers, is the cherry blossoms, and
that's so beautiful.
Yeah, we have the Frontiersmen instead of the Russian dance, and Cardinals, which I particularly love. Because it's our, you know, you see them so often here. And
local birds.
Yeah, and woodland creatures from along the Potomac. And the Anacostian Indian instead of, it's usually Arabian dance. And so there's so much just built in that we all say, oh, that's our city.
Yeah.
That's our town. Yeah. And it really doesn't stray far from the Nutcracker formula, you know. It still tells the story in actually a very classical way, but it's just presented with a bit more local charm and character.
It wasn't one year, weren't the Nationals racing presidents in tutus?
Last night.
Oh, they did it last night? Yep. Right. So it's only select performances.
Yep.
Yes.
How do you, what's coaching them like?
Well, last night our other ballet master, Michelle Jimenez, coached them, and they did really well. Yeah. They're very on top of it.
They were so funny.
They're very funny.
Oh my goodness.
They wear their tutus. They know their choreography. It's a yearly treat.
It's
a tradition.
Go. Are they going to be any more this year, or that was the one for this
I
year?
I think that was the
one.
One
night only.
Yeah.
But other,
you
never
it.
Know. Other guests. You never know. Come
you
out.
You never
There's
know.
Different
like,
guests.
We're waiting for you to come back. It's a yearly thing.
How about Kelly, our lovely Facebook Live video?
Also, come on down. Be part of our community, Nutcracker.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming in. It's an awesome yearly tradition. And not only is it an annual holiday thing, but this is the first time with the Julie Kent.
Thank
we all
you.
Bow down.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Again, it's Nutcracker now through December 24th at the Warner Theater. Thanks to the Washington Ballet. Thanks
Thank
so much,
you.
Guys.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
in Caribbean Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. That was
Thank
fun.
Thank you.